things get a little bit grim.
But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
1, 2, 3, go!
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Jenny.
How's it going?
It's going so good. How are you?
I'm doing so good. We're back.
We're back.
We told you'd be back.
You know, you didn't listen.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Surprise.
Back in a different capacity,
yeah.
Maybe, than what we've been before, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Things change and grow over time, and...
So have we.
And so have we. And so is the podcast.
Yeah. So, hope you love it. We're... gonna just do a loosey-goosey kind of system and we'll see what happens.
We may be back temporarily. It may be more long-term. We may post less frequently than we did before. The content may be a little different. You know, just roll with us.
Yeah. You're here. You're in it.
It's been a weird 2 years, man.
It has been a very weird 2 years. You and I haven't seen each other in a few weeks now.
A little bit.
The last time we saw each other, you don't even remember it.
Well, I had the flu. To like a really serious capacity.
To a high level of degree.
A high degree fever. I was unwell. Yeah. Didn't remember seeing you at all, but I woke up and there was my microphone on my table.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But we had like full conversation for like 2 hours.
I love that.
You know?
Two hours?
I was there for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was great. I had a great time.
Cute.
I was so glad to see you.
Thank you.
But... this is your second time at my new place.
Which is not in the state of Indiana.
No.
By the way,
no.
Taylor and I live far apart now.
It's horrible.
It's about 3.5 hours and it feels like a lifetime.
It is. It's not enough to fly.
Nope.
I can get home in a day if I need to,
mm-hmm.
but it is enough to be
massively inconvenient.
Very annoying. So if my heart is sad, I really have to think logically and say, like, if I leave right now in this moment with literally nothing but my purse and my coat, it is still going to take me 4 hours to get there.
Mm.
If I take the time to pack my bag and get anything that I might need, it's 5 hours. And by the time I go through that, like, logic, I have kind of been like, I could just... watch an episode of Game of Thrones.
What?
Sorry, that's my ice maker.
Oh.
This apartment is full of noises. I've had to turn off the heat. I don't even know.
My neighbor randomly
plays country music as loud as he possibly can.
He has a motorcycle that backfires. He should get that checked out, not by me, but by somebody.
A professional?
Yeah. A mechanic, perhaps?
Yeah, perhaps.
Could I recommend? So, yeah, we're no strangers to audio.
Audio
faux
issues. Super proud of ourselves for being able to even figure out the mic and recording situation after
Again.
2 years. And I have to say, this happened fairly quickly.
Proud of us. Proud of you. I did nothing.
I was working from muscle memory.
I snuggled here on my corner of the couch as usual.
Yeah, and you were like, tell me when we're ready.
Okay, we were ready a long time ago and I was having, I don't know, it just feels so weird to be back in front of a mic and talking and weird. It's weird stuff.
Very weird.
It feels foreign.
A little bit. I feel like we're like going back to a vacation home we haven't been to in a really long time.
Oh my God, what a really fantastic way to phrase that.
Like, we're happy to be here. It's just like we're like, evaluating our space again.
It's like when you visit a timeshare you haven't been to in 3 years and now you're like a different person when you go back and you're like, oh yeah, this.
Yeah. And it's like you have to reflect on all the things that have happened in the last time that you were in that place.
Which has been a lot. I mean, we stopped the podcast right before some really cataclysmic life changes. And, you know, I... here on the other side of it and coming back to this, that always, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit grim version one was like a snapshot of a really rough 2 years. And now to be back here in a different place, it feels really cool.
Yeah. It feels like coming home.
Yeah. But like, it's different though.
Yeah.
So they renovated.
Oh yeah. They renovated our vacation home.
They renovate. It looks so fresh. I love it. So fresh and so clean. Smells like new paint.
Smells like new paint. Absolutely. I love it. So You were able to visit me a few months ago.
Oh my gosh, in the autumn. It is, okay, well, you moved to an enchanted fairy tale village in the heartbeat of America, Ohio. And it's stunning here.
It makes me laugh so hard every time people give me such shit about moving away. And grandma, I'm talking to you. And then they come and visit me and they're like, oh no, I get it.
I'm enchanted by
like,
this.
I wouldn't leave either. And I'm like, no, this is why I like got here. And I was like, stick in the ground.
You literally have to drive through a national forest to like get here. Mm-hmm. And it makes me a little carsick.
It's a windy, windy road, and we are flat plains girls.
We're flatlanders, man.
Yeah.
Not built for it, but it's beautiful. I love it here. We went on a terrible hike. Maybe
challenging.
Challenging. Opportunities for growth for both of us as far as following instructions, navigational
awareness.
Goals to be set. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think following directions was definitely an opportunity for us in that. And also our never ending curiosity but what happens if we don't follow the directions?
Right. Well, I mean, it just ended up in us like slip sliding down a mountainside.
Right.
Essentially in the mud, but it was fine. Yep. And we got like an extra mile and a quarter in. So
yeah. I was like, Jenny, do you want to go for like a mile hike before we go to brunch? She was like, oh my gosh, I love it. This mile hike turned into 3 miles.
It was so wet and so muddy. And then we tried to take a shortcut down a hill that we maybe bit off a little bit more than we can chew. But brunch was fantastic.
Oh, so good.
So love the town. Good choice.
Love the town. And I really can't wait to tell you more about the national park you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is my story today.
Ah!
We've got a little bit of an ooky spooky folklore, kind of almost a disaster.
Okay.
In store. So are you ready?
Yeah, we're doing all of them at once. It's a different format. We told you, keep up.
Right.
Don't doubt us. Trust the process.
Right. So originally, I heard about this place from my friend Ray. So shout out Ray. And he was like, have you ever heard of this place called Helltown, Ohio? And I was like, no. And he's like, it's in your backyard.
Oh.
We have to go visit.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, hold on. I got to figure this out. And this was before we had decided to bring back the show in any capacity. So I was already kind of like on the Helltown, Ohio TikTok.
Oh, I see.
Kind of finding some things. Yeah. But this story is pretty interesting as far as history goes and how it transitions into folklore.
Okay. Okay. Let me know if it gets too icky.
There is really nothing icky.
Okay, wonderful.
It's...
Thanks. She's a sensitive soul.
It's PG. It's a PG episode.
Thank you.
Okay. So like Jenny mentioned, the little tiny town that I live in is big Stars Hollow vibes. It is just super, super cute. During her trip, sorry, I actually wrote out some of the things that we talked about.
Cute.
So I said we went on a little hike, ended up taking twice as long, but it was beautiful, right? So I've come to find out that the Cuyahoga Valley National Park has a bit darker of a history than I expected. So today we're diving into the history and eerie legends surrounding a small but infamous location known as Helltown, Ohio.
It's certainly got a spooky name.
Yeah. Helltown was originally known as a region called Boston, Ohio. So
it's been there, done that. Massachusetts stole it.
Right. Nobody stuck a flag in the ground and said, this shall be known as Helltown. That's just like the spooky thing that people call it.
Now. Oh, got it.
Yeah. I was really hoping that it was like named Helltown and then like a bunch of spooky shit happened there.
No. Unfortunately. All right.
Okay. So to begin our journey, we're going to go ahead and step back in time. Nestled in the serene expanse of the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, Helltown was once a thriving community with a rich history dating back to the early 19th century. Boston, Ohio was established in 1806 and is the oldest town in Summit County.
Hmm.
So I think it's funny that I moved to a county called Summit County. And
from the Summit City.
Fort Wayne is called the Summit City. So fun little tidbit there. So by the 1970s, the area was populated by farmers, families, and regular Midwestern folk. There were shops, pools, and communities. So this was an established town.
Okay.
I don't want anyone to think that this is a rural, sparse plot of land that one little...
Like one stop sign and a gas station.
This was a whole town. I mean, a general store, a main street, stoplights, the whole nine yards.
Got it.
But in the 1970s, there was a nationwide anxiety about deforestation and the lack of natural land.
Okay.
So President Ford signed a bill that gave the federal government's National Park Service, or the NPS, jurisdiction to expropriate land for the establishment of national parks.
Eminent domain.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. So, that law is so crazy to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy, but continue.
So, the government evoked eminent domain.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler!
That's crazy.
And evicted all of the residents and cleared the town.
And on God, the government can come in and do that.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Uh-huh.
Bonkers.
Absolutely. Their free will.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Crazy.
Mm. Okay. So, came in, stole the town.
Yep.
To save the trees?
To save the trees.
Were the trees in danger with the town?
I mean, the trees were... gone. I think they were going to plant more trees.
Okay, land for trees.
I think so.
Roger.
So they evicted all the residents. They cleared the town to expand the park. Many of the people who lived in Boston Township tried to fight back, but ultimately they were forced to leave. Some leaving generations of hard work behind.
Oh, that's so sad, actually.
Yeah, it's the 70s, so there's interviews. There's news crews came out. Everybody was like, what the actual hell is happening here?
So sad.
And there are farmers that are like, my family has lived here for hundreds of years.
We've tilled this land.
Yeah, this is my grandfather's farmhouse. I took over the farm when I was a kid.
Oh,
like,
oh gosh.
Really?
Family pets buried in the backyard? I can't. My heart.
Jenny. I wasn't even telling a sad story. Okay,
it sounds so sad so far.
So, I mean, this sucks for people.
But, yeah.
So those empty houses tagged with no trespassing signs told the tale of a government falling behind on its park plans and left the village abandoned. So
ghost town.
Yep. They evicted everybody. Everything stood vacant for a few years and they put up a bunch of no trespassing signs because all the townsfolk tried to come back.
Well, sure.
They were like, what are you doing?
You know what my stupid property management real estate brain was thinking about? How many writs did they have to file to what sheriff's department to make people leave their home? Mm-hmm. Like, that would be a legal nightmare.
Oh, yeah. So they had to have, like, the National Guard come in and patrol the town during this, like, era of the vacant houses because some of the residents came back and were like, nah, you're not doing anything with it.
Right. Okay. Wild.
Yeah. So then they had to board all the houses up instead of just like letting them be vacant and then post up a bunch of no trespassing signs, all this stuff. So in that time when this was a ghost town, folks like us.
Don't say like us. We've grown.
The people who are not above a little trespass moment.
A little.
And we're little curious bunnies.
A little B&E. A little
B&E. And
trespass arena.
Uh-huh. People who hear one creak in the stairs and we're like, it's a ghost. Suddenly, we now have an entire town that is riddled with ghost stories.
Oh, I see.
So, the remaining buildings were all torn down.
Roger.
In 2016. So.
Oh.
These.
That's like a little recent.
Yeah. There were still houses. There were two churches up that I'll talk about up until 2016.
Hmm.
So very sadly, you and I are not going to be able to go on an adventure later and go see. And the heckin' motor is doing something in the background. But we can't go see anything. There's nothing there.
Bummer.
I know. I was really sad. I had done so much research and been like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go see this church and blah, 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 blah. It's gone.
Like you thought we were going to drive into the town and like go walk through?
Absolutely. That was like.
You thought that?
Plan. For the night, Jenny. Yeah, I was like, we're going on an adventure.
Oh, we're going to tell the podcast and then we're going to go look at it. Well, we should have just loaded up the mics and an extension cord. We'll just go record in the woods, girl.
We'd be standing on a bare, like, blank land plot. So, like I said, this sparked a bunch of urban legends over the years. So among the most haunting tales is the whisper of satanic cults.
Oh, yes, of course.
Lurking within the woods, performing dark rituals in these abandoned buildings.
Ooh.
There were two churches that called Helltown home. There was an abandoned school bus in Helltown that was said to be haunted by a serial killer.
What?
Who had kidnapped a group of children in the school bus and then murdered them all.
Like Jeepers Creepers?
Yes.
Too?
Uh-huh.
The second one?
Wait, I don't know that I've seen the second one.
Oh, you haven't? I think there's three, actually. The first one is the only one with Justin Long, who, like, yeah, really carried that movie. Except, how did that monster, like, get a vanity plate? Do you ever think, you know, anyway.
How did that?
One of my favorite horror movies. I love Jeepers Creepers.
It's one of those that I think lends itself to, like, a little bit of comedy mm-hmm. in the right places, and you know I love that. That it makes it a really, really good scary movie. I
agree.
But I guess, yes.
Like anyway, there's creepers. A second one where it's kids on a bus.
Oh.
And that's the Jeep. That's the Jeepers okay. Creepers. So.
Yep. So kids on a bus. Legend is that the serial killer murdered them all. Who, what, when, where. We don't have any details on it. So I am
wild speculation based loosely on fact.
Absolutely untrue. The only truth to this was that there was a school bus that was parked in Helltown. And the story is now that, like, people were using it as a home. Like, somebody had renovated it and was using it as somewhere to stay.
Oh. They probably have a TikTok account.
Right. They probably... We could probably find them.
We probably can.
So, that's very spooky. Story number one. A local paranormal researcher explored the area and gave this overall statement about their experience. And just thanks to colonialghosts.com for providing this snippet,
mm-hmm.
which says, I have experienced much in my explorations here, some of which I don't care to remember, and some of which I can never hope to explain.
Ooh.
Helltown is not truly abandoned. It does have residents, but they are a strange and frightening breed.
Huh?
I have gone exploring in the woods and cemetery of the area late at night and in the wee hours of the morning and have returned to my car to find strange people looking into its windows.
I'm sorry? I am sorry?
Why would you leave your car? Don't do that.
Well, how's he supposed to get there? By foot? Or just stay in the car?
Just stay in the car.
Yeah, that's probably best. What do you mean looking in the car? Like you walked back to your car and there were just people hunched looking in your windows?
I think so.
Hello? I don't.
No.
Absolutely not.
No, no, no. Ooh. Unsubscribe from that.
The scariest thing we talk about is what real people do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
God. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
You're good. Okay. So this has happened twice, once at 2 a.m. and once at 4:30 a.m. Both times, the people fled as soon as they saw me approaching the car before I had a chance to speak to them.
Oh.
Both times, they were dressed in all black. Part of me is glad that I didn't get to converse with them because I've heard too many tales of the ways of the Helltown residents. Supposedly, they are Satanists and worship at the town's two evil churches.
Oh, Lord.
I have been to both of these churches, however, not inside them. One, called the Mother of Sorrows, has upside-down crosses hanging from it.
What?
Which is true. That church is, I can't remember what, like, sect of Christianity it belongs to, but one of them, like, upside down crosses is, like, like a relic of theirs.
Okay.
So it's supposedly on the up and up, but I feel like that feels weird.
It's supposedly on the up and up. Okay, I could see that. I know that they're, like, chunkier. I'm not familiar enough with, like, each mm-hmm. subsect of Christianity, but like the chunkier crosses where the yeah. top is like shorter than the other, so it looks like it's upside down, but maybe they're that more equal, like a Eastern like a Orthodox kind of,
maybe.
Okay. Our Mother of Sorrows sounds like a Catholicism subsect,
maybe, right? It could be Catholicism. We'll find a picture of it, because there's pictures of these churches before they tore them down.
Okay, well, that's icky. We yeah. put the cross the right way, the way it belongs,
yeah,
as it should be. Thank you.
Let's not.
Mm-mm.
No, thanks. So, okay. I also have been to Boston Cemetery, where a ghost has been seen sitting on a bench. This cemetery
He's tired.
Sweet, sweet thing. Just coming to visit.
Taking a breather. Taking in the haunting scenery.
Haunting is a lot of energy.
Living is so much. I can't even imagine what haunting is like. You have to be everywhere all the time.
Right. Everywhere, all the places.
Demands.
All at once.
Oh, let that ghost have his break.
Right.
He's off the clock.
Off the clock. Okay, so the graves date back to the early 1800s. I didn't see the ghost when I visited, but I did hear strange growls and howls from the depths of the graveyard.
Ooh.
This was more than enough to convince me to leave, as the prospect of getting attacked by some strange boneyard-dwelling beast was not appealing, to say the least.
Mm-mm.
So I will say we do have quite a few coyotes here.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. And there was one night we were sitting in my living room and had the windows open, and we could just hear them, like, howling.
Whoa.
And it was really cool, but I was also like, yikes.
I went into a house the other day, and it was this really cool, like, older mid-century style, and it had a spiral staircase in the middle of the living room down to the basement. Super cool. But I went down there, there were no lights, it was super dingy, dark, and there was this big box in front of me with, like, this hunched over gnarled thing, and it scared the shit out of me. And it was the worst taxidermied coyote that somebody had mounted into, like, an old 1990 TV entertainment system. Like, they took the TV out and mounted this coyote.
Somebody needs to answer for those crimes.
I'm pretty sure I have a photo. I'm pretty sure I took a photo of it. It was wacky stuff.
Wackadoodle.
Anyway, sorry.
Ugh.
That's my only experience with coyotes.
I saw one. I was coming home and I thought somebody's, like, German Shepherd got loose.
Yeah.
And it ran right in front of my car, and there for a second I was like looking around for an owner, and I was like, oh no, that's just
a coyote.
That's a wild animal.
Coyote.
Okay, there are some that believe that it's not people in satanic cults running around Helltown.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that due to some chemical spills and some toxic waste.
Oh no, please say radioactive goblins.
That there might be radioactive goblins, yes! Or wildlife, yes! Mutations creating hazardous conditions.
I knew you were going to say radioactive goblins.
Absolutely. You knew it.
I can smell them coming a mile away.
Feel it in your soul. Okay, so the Krejci, and I don't know that I'm pronouncing that right. It's Krejci.
Okay.
Krejci? Dump operated as a salvage yard and waste disposal facility in Boston Township from 1948 to 1980.
Is this true?
Yes.
Okay.
It received solid and hazardous wastes from nearby cities, towns, and scores of companies.
Hazardous.
At the time, dumps were largely unregulated, and toxic materials were buried in unlined pits and allowed to seep unchecked into the environment.
Perfect.
The National Park Service acquired this dump in 1985, but rangers visiting the site became ill and covered in rashes.
Ooh.
It was soon discovered that the dump was highly polluted with toxic chemicals and improperly disposed of.
Oh.
Not good.
Yikes.
So
we have a high probability of radioactive goblins out there in the woods.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I would say at least a 6 out of 10.
60%? I'll take it.
Yeah. So the creatures mentioned earlier bring me to our very own folklore mascot of the Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
You guys have your own cryptid?
Yes.
What is it? What's his name?
The Peninsula Python.
A what? A snake?
A snake. A big snake.
A big snake here in Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here in the cold? The frigid cold?
Yeah.
It was -20 last week.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So the other area that's, like, near Boston is a tiny little township called Peninsula.
Oh.
So that's why it's called the Peninsula Python. But it's all the same area.
Got it.
So this is actually rooted in fact.
What?
Of all the things that I have said that I thought would not be rooted in fact.
This is fact?
This
right
one.
Now? The uh-huh. snake? Okay.
So this python is not a mutated snickety snake that only a few have ever claimed to see. In fact, in the summer of 1944, a python escaped from a circus trailer while driving through Peninsula, Ohio. Peninsula Historical Society records indicate that the first sighting of the python was by farmer Clarence Mitchell on June 8th, 1944.
Oh, I bet that gave that poor man a heart attack.
Absolutely. Mitchell reported that his dogs were skittish for a few days, refusing to go near his cornfield. He described watching the snake, which he estimated to be between 15 and 18 feet long, slither from the field into the river. After Clarence made his claim, many other residents saying they were seeing the snake, they were tracking its snake prints. in the mud.
I feel like, honestly, though, our summers here and the amount of, like, agriculture and mice and small rodents, I bet if a python could make a summer home here, I bet it would be heaven.
Absolutely. We gotta figure out how to go south for the winter, but...
Right.
I mean...
That's a logistical issue we can address later.
Right.
That's a September problem.
So, while many other residents say they have seen either evidence of the snake or the snake himself, it was never caught.
Mm-hmm.
But the city still celebrates Python Day.
No.
Yes.
You guys have a snake day?
Yeah, there's a parade.
It stars hollow here, I swear.
There is a parade and there is a giant, like, 100-foot-long snake float.
That goes through the town?
That goes through the town.
Precious.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. Thank you to the Akron Beacon Journal for that tidbit. But yeah, so this is my fun little tale about my new hometown and the spookiness that comes with it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it here. It is so, it's perfect. I love it. Little spooky. It's mostly, it's like camp and fun and like boutiques and breweries and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. Great food, great beer.
Great hiking.
Great hiking.
Presumably, when Taylor and I stay on the beaten trail.
Yeah. Do not diverge from the trail.
No, do not leave the trail.
All right.
I have one.
Thank God. That would have sucked if I would have been like, okay, that's my story.
And I just sat here and said, well done.
We're doing our own thing now, guys.
Which is I sit and listen, and Taylor does all the work.
I'm going to have to delegate something.
I did.
That's how it's going to go.
It's a soft skill.
Uh-huh.
Taylor.
Jenny.
I want to tell you the world's oldest story.
Okay.
I'm not saying the first one, but the oldest. The oldest story.
All right.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Once upon a time, there lived seven sisters. Maya, Electra, Alcyone, Tagate, Asterope, Calano, and Merope. Their parents had some creative liberties.
Are these the muses?
Close.
Okay.
Close. They were the hunting companions of the great goddess Artemis.
Ooh.
One day, all seven were playing in a secluded glade in the forest, and their laughter rang merrily through the trees, for they thought that they were alone. They didn't know that close by, the valiant hunter Orion was hunting for a deer that had been eluding him for quite a while. "He may be smart," Orion muttered, "but he can't hide forever." He was wandering through the woods when he heard laughter coming from the seven hidden sisters. "I wonder who that could be," Orion thought, and quietly stepped into the glade and saw seven of the most beautiful maidens playing innocently by a small stream. "What goddesses you all are," he cried in delight, an appropriate response.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This startled the sisters, and they all turned towards Orion. "And run," Merope yelled to the rest, and they all fled. "Wait, don't go," Orion called, and he began to pursue them. But alas, he lost sight, and they escaped through the trees. But Orion would not give up. "I shall find those fair maidens, I swear it," he called determinedly to the sky. And from then on, Orion interrupted every hunt that Artemis and the sisters went on. He chased them relentlessly, and this went on for 7 years with the seven sisters, always on the run from Orion. And as each year passed, Artemis got angrier and angrier with every ruined hunt. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. "I will stop his interfering once and for all," she vowed, and set off for Mount Olympus to have a face-to-face with Zeus. Upon arriving, Artemis explained her situation and said, "He always ruins our hunts. Please protect my companions. I beg of you." "I'll consider your request," Zeus replied. He dismissed her, and he sat brooding on his throne when he got an idea. "Ha," he chuckled, "I will humor Artemis's wish." So the next time Artemis and the sisters hunt was cut short because of Orion, Zeus put his plan into action. He turned the seven sisters. He turned them into pigeons.
Oh.
He turned the seven sisters into pigeons, and they soared into the sky with Artemis.
Could have picked a prettier bird.
Just a pigeon. Girl, just a pigeon. Did you know pigeons used to be like our best friends, and then we abandoned them, and that's why they're like so rampant in these. We like trained them and gave us homes. They played like an integral part in World War II, and it's like we abandoned them. That's why they're so overran in big cities.
What?
Pigeons have a really sad backstory.
I hear that. Yeah. No wonder they're like the villain of the skies in New York City, Chicago.
I honestly, they kind of spook me a little bit.
I know they do. Anytime we're walking around, you're like,
they're so bold. That's my only
wings.
Rat. Well, they just don't respect boundaries well, and that doesn't vibe with me.
That does spook you.
It does spook me when people don't respect my boundaries. So when the seven birds have flown almost too far away to be seen, Zeus changed them into stars. And Artemis was furious at losing her companions and went off to talk to Zeus again. "This is not what I wanted," she cried. "Now I won't get to see them anymore." "But of course you will," Zeus consoled. "You're not just the goddess of the hunt, remember. You're also the goddess of the moon, which happens to pass by your companions regularly, and you'll be able to visit them often." Artemis had to content herself with that, and that is how the seven sisters became the group of stars known as the Pleiades.
Aww.
So you were close, kind of like the Muses. Now, if you're from our little slice of Midwestern paradise and you're blessed with a rare cloudless midwinter's night and you thoughtfully lift your face to the sky, you will see the seven sisters twinkling back at you. They're not as recognizable as their hunter Orion's belt, which can be found nearby. But if you find them and you count them, you will see that there are only six.
Uh-oh.
However, this story is told in the same way across the world, across cultures and distances that are difficult to fathom, that leaves a very big question. Where is the missing sister?
Right.
So that version that I told is a watered down, less salty version of the traditional Greek tale where the Pleiades were the seven daughters of the Titan Atlas.
Okay.
Atlas was forced to hold up the sky for eternity and therefore was unable to protect his daughters from being pursued by Orion. And to save them from such a fate, Zeus transformed them into stars. But one sister fell in love with a mortal and went into hiding, which is why we only see six. But on the other side of the world, there is a super, I'm not going to say identical, but like nearly identical version down under in Australia. The Orion constellation is called the Saucepan. And in that story, in Aboriginal cultures, is also often portrayed as a hunter or a group of lusty young men, if you will. Ick. Daisy Bates, who's an anthropologist, and just by her name, I feel like she makes like a wonderful focaccia bread. Daisy,
absolutely.
Don't you think Daisy?
Yeah.
Daisy makes a good focaccia. She reported that people in Central Australia regarded Orion as a hunter of women, specifically of the women in the Pleiades. And many Aboriginal stories say that Orion or the men or the hunter were chasing the seven sisters, and one of the sisters had died, or another variation went into hiding, or in another variation is too young or has been abducted. Mm. So again, only six are visible.
Interesting.
And this same framework exists everywhere. European, African, Asian, Indonesian, Native American subcultures all have a similar story about the same constellation, about seven females being pursued by a male in some fashion with an explanation for the missing star.
That's so weird.
Isn't it? So thank God that we have smarty pants scientists around.
Yes.
Because Europeans, they for a long time, they thought that Europeans brought the Greek story to Aboriginal cultures, and that's kind of where it spread. But in the retelling, the Aboriginal stories seem to predate the European ones.
Okay.
And there was little contact between Australian Aboriginal cultures and the rest of the world for at least another 50,000 years.
Oh my God.
Right. So there's a big gap.
That's a lot of years.
It's a lot of years for that story to trickle down and not be where it started.
Yeah.
You feel me? So Ray and Barnaby Norris are two anthropologists and journalists and writers, and they say that the answer is a simple one. All modern humans descended from people who lived in Africa before they began their long migrations to far corners of the globe around 100,000 years ago. That's why if you do like your 23andMe sample, there's like always a little, because they say that they can trace all human ancestry back to that small sub-Saharan part of Africa.
Okay.
And if you're still wondering about the seventh sister and if she's safe in hiding or in love or alone in the cold night sky, there's an answer for that too. Careful measurements using the Gaia Space Telescope and others show the stars of the Pleiades are slowly moving in the sky. One star, Pleione, is now so close to the star Atlas that they look like a single star to the naked eye. But if we take what we know about the movement of the stars and rewind 100,000 years, Pleione was further from Atlas and would have been easily visible here on Earth. So that long ago, many people saw seven sisters. So really, she just moved a little bit across the sky. She moved into the arms of Atlas. And that is the oldest story in the world.
Wow. I love a little history lesson.
A little history, a little stars, little ooh. There's a couple articles, one called Seven Sisters, known around the world by earthsky.org, written by Bruce McClure, published November 2023. Lucinda Riley, who is an author who wrote a Seven Sisters series directly from her own website. Ray Norris, the world's oldest story astronomers say global myths about the seven sisters. It may reach back 100,000 years, published on theconversation.com. And I have a fun fact about this story.
Okay.
The Pleiades in Japanese culture are known as Subaru and are usually referred to as being seven stars. And Subaru also means unite or unity in Japanese. However, when the car company Subaru chose the name for their business, they decided to depict only six stars in the company logo because only six of the stars are visible to the naked eye.
I was just like, as soon as you said Subaru, I was like, and the Subaru logo is stars. I will never be able to see a Subaru in a different way.
The seven sisters.
That's so cool.
I know.
When you were talking about like how they're all of these cultures have the same story, that it reminds me of like how every culture in the world has stories about dragons.
I did not know that they did that.
Oh, every culture has stories about dragons. They're depicted in in Egypt, in Asia, in Australia.
Really?
Right. So I wonder if it is something like that where we're all kind of
drawing from the same subset
of people in the beginning of times.
It's like when you play a game of telephone, like the original message.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who think that there's just no way dragons weren't real if we were all depicting them. So maybe dragons would be a cool.
That would be a cool one. We haven't done dragons. No. That's a little outside of my realm of expertise.
Creature feature
fun. Okay, put it on the to-do list, girl.
Yeah, we need a whiteboard. Whiteboard it. Oh my gosh. So
do you have a bright and shiny?
I mean, I would be remiss to say anything other than this.
the pod.
You are beautiful friendship that is undying and cannot be.
Really went through.
Despite
our own best efforts, we can't quit each other.
Broke background in it. Ew. I just can't quit you.
I can't quit you.
Ew. I'm not ill, but you know.
But I mean, really though, I think there's something so beautiful about how many shapes and forms and variations of our friendship we have been through. And I know we talked about that when we started the podcast, and we've been through like 16 other versions then.
It's just a never-ending evolution of each other, of our friendship, what that means, what that looks like.
Growing and pains and moving through them and
holding space for each other when it's hard.
We're really doing it, man.
Yeah. There was can't decide if I want to get into it or not. Tidbit was, we went through a hard time this year.
And there was a time where Taylor and I
did not talk.
Didn't speak. It was just a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will never forget the break in the silence was because one of our other friends was worried about my safety and called Jenny. And Jenny FaceTimed me, and I was in this situation, and I answered the phone because I was like, this is weird. And Jenny was like, you can't die in the middle of us having a beef. And I was like,
having a beef? Is that how I phrased it?
Yeah. And then, like, I was like, I'm fine. I'm safe. Can I call you back in like 30 minutes?
Uh-huh.
And I did. And then it was, I love you. I'm just still mad. And I was like, same. But we talked for like an hour that night.
Yes, we did. And it was exactly, I mean, we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just, there are times when you just got to grow through what you go through, mm-hmm. I guess. And like, I knew it is what it is.
Yeah.
But also, hard boundary on, you can't die when I'm trying to be in a fight with you. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
How, are you going to stand up at my funeral and be like, she was my best friend forever? And I'll be like, bitch, we weren't talking.
Yes, I would.
I know you would.
One, yes, I absolutely would.
Yes.
Yes, I would.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But
I think our message in that is, if you are going through something with a friend, give it time, give it space, but know that if you reach out, there might be somebody on the other end of the line.
I would say probably more often than not, mm-hmm. at least in our friendship. I don't think there is anything in this world that could go down that I would not be able to call you and know that you would answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And even through that period, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. I knew if I was in trouble or if I knew I needed you,
mm-hmm.
I would call and you would run to.
I would certainly drive like hell.
Yeah. Get in that 3-hour car ride.
Yeah.
What's your bright and shiny?
Well, I guess it's that, Taylor.
I stole the thunder.
I probably that. I am so grateful for growth and opportunity and to be back here with you in a different but very familiar way. And it feels really, really cool. It almost feels like we were holding our breath for like the past 2 years, and now it's like a,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep. Yep. I think it's funny. I still get asked about the show. Like, at work, a lot of people ask about it, or it gets brought up as like, whenever somebody's like, oh, what's your fun fact? Like, someone else will tell me my fun fact.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Well, Taylor's got a podcast, and I'm like, well, we haven't posted anything in 2 years up until now.
Oh,
but
my
yes,
gosh.
That's true.
That's so. It's nice when other people provide your fun fact. I was just at a small group launch at church, and the example that you had to give like a bio, like introduce yourself. And the example they provided was like, were you a figure skater? And I was like, yes, I was. Thank uh-huh. you. Check that right yes. off the to-do
Facts.
List. Yes, I was. Hand it on a silver platter.
Uh-huh.
Hate that.
There you go.
Here you go. Here's my fact.
Oh my gosh. We'd love to know your fun fact. What is the most fun fact that you have? Let us know on the Instagram.
Oh my gosh, are we rebooting the Sochmeads? Oh my god, this
the Sochmeads.
I haven't said that.
Instagram's
so
still up. Twitter is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's my bad. My bad. That'd be time number two.
I was trying to set everything up again. I had to reset all of our passwords because I couldn't
Wonderful.
Remember any of them.
That sounds right.
And when I logged into the email, it was just, you've been locked out of Twitter. 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 And I was like, oh god. So follow us on Instagram. Hit subscribe if you want.
Are there new people here? Oh my gosh, we have the craziest Spotify. The podcast still gets a Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, 65% of our listeners found us in 2023. What's that about? If you're a new listener who has started listening since we stopped recording, who are you?
Who? Why?
Who are you? How'd you find us? Why are you here? We're so glad you are.
Welcome.
But who
Welcome
are you?
To the weirdest group of people on the internet.
No.
Well,
no.
Okay. I'll
no.
reel that back.
Yeah. Dial that a lot back.
Welcome to one very kind and quirky
there you
side
go.
Of the internet.
There you
where
go.
You are welcome, and we hope that you like our spooky tales.
But not that spooky.
Jenny, you gotta stop giving yourself the disclaimer of not that spooky.
I just want to set a clear expectation of what I'm gonna provide here. Maybe spooky later.
Maybe right now, we're just doing what we want to do.
Thank you so
and
much.
Jenny is going to go down a PG route.
Thank you.
If that's okay. Okay. We love you so much.
What? How did we end this?
Take care of yourself and others?
No.
No?
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
And to others.
And to others.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.